God, thank you that you are our good, good Father. You loved us so much that you sent your Son. You sent your Son to die on the cross for us, for our sins. God, now we can come to you as we are. You forgive our sins, and we can have a real relationship with you. God, we love you, and we know that you love us. Thank you. Good morning, church. If I haven't met you before, my name is Nathan, and I'll be your host this morning. If you're new with us, we want you to feel at home. God loves you just as you are, and we're so happy to have you here. One thing we truly value at CIT is community. So whether today is your first time or CIT has been your home church for years, the best way to get connected with our church family and start meeting people is through community groups. Del, could you stand up for a second? This is our teaching pastor, Del. If you're interested in community groups, please come talk to Del after the service and he'll be happy to help you. Thanks, Del. He'll be right here. As we approach the end of the year, I want to take a minute just to talk about our financial goals for the year and what they mean for the coming year. We know that in 2018, God wants us to stretch ourselves to reach even more people and bring them into a meaningful relationship with Jesus. To do that effectively, we want to invest in a couple of key areas like community groups, cafe, worship, and kids' church. In addition, we have significant repairs that need to happen to this building in 2018. We want to make sure that finances don't hold us back from where God wants our church to go. So please pray and consider your offering this month as we lay the groundwork for next year. If you did come prepared to give today, there are a number of different ways you can do that. There's our giving box out in the main hallway. You can give online through our website, or you can text to give. The instructions can be found on our website, and I promise they're really simple. Just a note on tax receipts. We'll be giving tax receipts for this year for any donations given and dated before December 30th. We have two events coming up at CIT. Can anybody tell me what's happening next week? It's Christmas, that's right. So on Christmas Eve, yes, thank you. On Christmas Eve, we'll be having two services, one at 11 a.m. and one at 7 p.m. I'm really excited for our Christmas services this year. They're going to be the best we've ever done. Okay, what comes after Christmas? New Year's, that's right. We'll be kicking off 2018 at CIT with Vision Sunday on January 7th at 11 a.m. That's our regular service time. God has given us an inspiring, exciting vision for 2018. We want to share with you where God is leading us over the next year so that you can partner with us and together we can bring that to life. I'm really excited about this vision. I've seen it personally and it really captures the heart of what our church community is all about. So again, that's January 7th at 11 a.m. for Vision Sunday. With all that being said, we're continuing in our Psalm series today, so I'd like to welcome our teaching pastor, Ian, to come up and lead us into God's Word.
This looks like it's the place to be. Yeah, I'm excited too. So as Nathan mentioned, we are continuing in our Psalm series. This morning, we're in Psalm 139. And look at the title of this message. The title of this message, there we go. God knows me and still loves me. God knows me and still loves me. I think it's a great title. That's just maybe because I came up with it. But anyway, that's not the real reason. It's because it really captures the heart of what's going on in this psalm. So before I get started, I'm going to ask Carlos to come on up. He is going to read for us the verses this morning. There you go.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a great pleasure to be inside of the church. So, well, as Ian mentioned, I'm going to read the Psalm 139, but before that, I would like to introduce myself. My name is Carlos, and I come from what's my family. You saw the picture there. There's Janet, my wife, and my daughter Vivian. We came in 2014, the summer of 2014, and from Venezuela, which is a country located in South America, shared borders with Colombia and Brazil. Some more, yes. So, we came from this in the summer of that year. So we so ups and downs of, as an immigrant, you know. So, we thanks God we met a sister and brother, mm-hmm. Janet and Pierre Japur. They brought us here. And my wife came before me, but it's because I was working that Asian for that moment in every Sunday, you know. But to be honest, because our backgrounds, we were Catholic, so strong Catholics. In fact, in my family, there are priests, nuns, everything. So I felt a little bit apprehension, you know, at the very beginning. So. you know, every Sunday when my wife came home, I felt that she was really fulfilled, you know, every time that she came here. So one day I broke my fingers, and that was the I could come here that Sunday. And so I met Nigel, met Del, Corey Ian. So, and they say, thanks God for, yes, to be here in CIT, or the other thing. So, we used to live 3 or 4 blocks away from here. We moved to Mississauga. But even though this is our second home, so we're not even, we will, if God had. We will be here.
Amen.
Okay, thank you. Okay, to the choir master, a Psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the winds of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Mm-hmm. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day. For darkness is a lie with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them.
Yeah.
How precious to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Oh, that you will slay the wicked. O God, O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try my own and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Right. God knows me, and He still loves me. This is really interesting because I wonder, do you really want to be known that well? Do you? You know, again, let me just, if you can take one thing home from this message this morning, God knows you as you really are. Not the thing that you put on for everybody else to see. God knows you as you really are and still loves you and cares for you. Isn't that a bit scary? I mean, He loves me even though I am, you know, the way I am. That's awesome. But the fact that somebody knows you inside out, through and through, that can be a little scary. And you know, I think most of us, we don't want to be known that way. Think about the way you present yourself to other people. Do you, when you first meet somebody, do you tell them all the deep, dark secrets of your heart? Not likely, right? Usually, you know, you've got your best, you know, you've got your best face on, and you're making sure that you're, this is like first date stuff, right? Yes. When you go on your first date, you know, let me talk about the guys. I don't know about the girls. The guys smell good. Bob said it right. That's not natural for a man. Like, most men, they don't shower. You know, if you know junior high boys, they just get older and they don't change much. They smell good on the first date. They look good, right? They don't have their sweatpants on and things like that. And they take care of their manners too, right? They, you know, when you go for a dinner, they pull out your chair, right? They put it in. You know, they're like, yeah, look. Okay, let me tell you, ladies, that's not the real guy. That's not the real guy. Because, okay, if you have been married for a little while, this is not a breaking news bulletin to you. You're well aware that the guy that you married no longer opens the... No, wait, I know there's one guy in this room who still opens the car door for his wife. Am I right, Casey? See? Oh, my goodness. He's still at it, which is awesome. Don't stop. But, you know, we have this presentation of ourselves as, like, we've got it all together, and we just know exactly... You know, we just want you to know this side of us. Why? Because deep in our hearts, we want you to accept us. We just don't want to be rejected. And I think that's the, isn't that when you kind of drill down on things, isn't that what our real fear is? So we present ourselves in a certain way. And the interesting thing, Regina, if you could go to the verses for me again, just those first six verses, look at some of the things that are being said here. God, you have searched me and you have known me. You know when I sit down, you know when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path, my lying down, you're acquainted with my ways. Even the words that, even before they're on my tongue, you know them. God knows your thoughts. God knows your words. God knows your actions. Are you okay with that? Some of us are like, that sounds maybe a little bit too much. So the reality of this is God knows your heart. He knows the good things that are there. But He also knows the evil. He knows the bad things. He knows the secret things that you do not tell on your first date. All the things you're hiding, God knows those things. And that can be a little bit scary. Because in modern terms, we would say he's got like X-ray vision. You can't hide anything, right? He can see everything that you're hiding to me. He sees it. You cannot hide it from God. God knows you inside out. He knows those things in your heart that you don't tell other people. Even spouses. I know you know your husband or your wife well, but you don't know them as well as God knows them. Even in that relationship, we still hold things back from those who are really close to us. But know this, God knows you as you really are, and he still loves you, and he still cares for you. He's not going to reject you just because he knows everything about you. And you know, it's interesting because when you think about God knowing everything about you, you could have one of two responses. Your one response might be because you know that God is a good God. We just said, you know, God is a good, good father. If you know God in that way, the fact that he knows your thoughts, knows your activities, knows your words, it's a comfort to you. Because you know that he's accepting you just the way you are. And so you can rest in who you are, really, and in who he is. It's good that he knows who you are. And so in that sense, you run to God. But you know, there's another response, and that is fear. Because I think here's what we do. We know the corruption of human beings. We know how fallen and sinful we are. And the fact that somebody would know about me, all the hidden things about me, we just don't know what's going to happen with the information that people have of me. And we kind of take that thought, fallen, sinful human beings, and we impose that upon God and say, no, God, I don't want you to know everything about me because I don't trust you. And so instead of running to God, we run away from God. But just know this. God wants to have that beautiful relationship, intimate relationship with you. Verse 5 is interesting. Regina, if you could just go back there. It says that God hems us in. That means he surrounds us. He surrounds us. He's behind me. And he's before me. And it says, you lay your hand upon me. That's not for discipline, that's for protection. And I was thinking about this, you know, like the fact that God encircles us and surrounds us and protects us is to me for two reasons. He needs to protect me from me. Because I know my heart. Yes, there's good things in it, but yes, there's tendencies to do other things as well. And God is encircling me and helping me not to go too far. Isn't that good to know that? That's the kind of good God that we have. So he's protecting me from myself so I don't just live life the way I want to live life. But in his encircling, he's also protecting us from things that would damage us. He's hemming us in behind and before. And I love the way that this first stanza ends. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. You know, and then we go on to the next set of verses. Regina, if you could bring up 7 through 12 for me. Look at these. Where shall I go? So if you've got the feeling I need to run from God, listen to these verses. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I go as high as is possible, you're there. If I go as far south as possible, deep into the earth, as low as I can go. Guess what? You're there. Then it says, if I take the wings of the morning, which direction does the sun come up? Yeah, if I run to the east, if I fly to the east as far as I can possibly go, you're there. And then look at the other one. Of the uttermost parts of the sea, for a Jewish person, what would be that sea? That would be the Mediterranean Sea. That's the west. So I can go as far west as I want. And guess what? You're there. And look at this. It says, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. I love this thought here, because, you know, sometimes when we want to run away, we run away and we find out, hey, I thought I was running away from God. And when I get to where I'm running away to, guess who I find there? God. So I'm running away from God, and in a sense, I'm still running to God. God is everywhere. I cannot possibly run away from him. Let's just finish off these verses. Even if I say, I'm going to hide in the darkness, Lord, you're there. So God is inescapable. Then it moves on to verses 13 through 18. These are very, very interesting verses. These verses say, you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Very interesting verses. I praise you, for you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret. Frame is talking about your body. Inward parts, just how you are. Your personality, your disposition, your strengths, your weaknesses, all those things. God is just knitting them together in your mother's womb. He says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. Wow. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So many interesting things that we could say, but we just cannot say at this point. Here's what I'd love you to take away from this section. God cares for you even before you take a breath. Even before you, think about it, in your mother's womb. I think we have an image. Even that stage of your formation and your life, God is weaving you together. God is intricately putting you together. You haven't even done anything wrong yet, right? Other than kick your mom. But that's okay. She loves that. And dad's like, oh, that's amazing. Look, my son, my daughter. God knows you even from that point. And he loves you even from that point. And it doesn't change the moment that you are birthed. God's value of you is so high. But I wonder, how highly do you value yourself? Do you see yourself the way that God sees you? Do you value yourself the way that God is valuing you? And I would say, yes, you should. You know, if you look at these verses, you can say, yeah, but Ian, you know, we all know that that was written by David, and that was, you know, thousands of years ago, and he was so uneducated, and he was thinking, you know, the secret things, they must be just, oh, I'll just say that's God. And so we know today with the natural processes and everything like that, that that's really how things happen. But, you know, here's what I would say to you. There's no problem in saying, yes, there are natural processes that are in place. We know that, but please, do not underestimate that God has put those processes in place, and God is taking care of you in your mom's womb. It's not an either or here. It's not an either or. The natural processes can be going, and so can God be at work. And so here's what I would say to a person who might be thinking in that way, you know, if you're saying, you know, it's just natural processes, then your thought might be, well, I'm just one of the 7.6 billion people on this earth. And actually, I'm pretty insignificant when I think about it. And maybe, as I look at myself, I need to improve myself. And the improvements that I'll make are to my body. Ladies, this is where I'm coming to you. I already spoke to the men about in the first date. Let me speak a little to the women, because it seems to be women who feel like they need to change their bodies more than men. 4.2 million surgeries, plastic surgeries, happened in the United States in 2016. 4.2 million people went to get surgery to change themselves. I need better boobs. I need better lips. I need a better butt. Sorry if that offends you, but that's really what's going on. Look at the statistics. God has made you. God has given you your body. Can you value your body the way that God values your body? Don't be in this thought. Oh, you know, I've got to change, and I've got to do this, and I've got to improve that whole exterior so that I'll feel better about myself. Brothers and sisters and friends, God knows you inside and out. He made you the way you are. Can you just embrace the way you are? Can you just embrace that? You know, if you're a person who realizes that God put us together, maybe your thought would say, yeah, there are 7.6 billion people on this earth right now, but I'm made very particularly. I'm like nobody else. I can celebrate the way that God has made me. Let me give you two examples. These are two brothers who are presently serving God, but the way they started out is very interesting. Mark Hall, for those of you who are familiar with Casting Crowns, he is a member of that group. And what's interesting is, if you listen to Mark's testimony about just the way that he grew up and everything else, he was a child with dyslexia. And he was a child who was diagnosed with ADD. Now, who made him that way? You know what? His testimony is, I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Did God allow those things to happen in Mark Hall's life? Yes, he did. Today, Mark Hall is a singer, songwriter for Casting Crowns, and a youth pastor. Just because you have these challenges in your life, don't feel like, you know, you got to throw in the towel. No, God is still able to use you for his glory exactly the way you are. The brother on the right, his name is Mark Clark. Mark grew up in, actually he is a boy from Toronto. Grew up here in Toronto. At 8 years old, his parents divorced. As a result of that, he developed Tourette syndrome. For those of you not familiar, that's that kind of tics and outbursts of certain, sometimes it's pretty vulgar, outbursts that a person, and it's kind of involuntary. So you never know when this person is going to do something like that. So the divorce happened when he was 8. Then, he, you know, he's kind of going through his childhood, and another man comes into the whole family experience. He starts doing drugs, experimenting with drugs, all kinds of different things. Today, that young man in his early 30s is the pastor of the fastest growing church in Canada, in Vancouver. Brothers and sisters, God made you the way he made you. God has put you together the way. Now, did Mark, feel like, he had this Tourette syndrome from the time he was born? No, he didn't, but it was there. It was within him. Something happened. Actually, what's very interesting with Mark Clark, is once the Lord came and began to, renew him from the inside out, the Tourette syndrome is under control now. You listen to him speak a message for God, it's amazing. But if your eye is watching him, your ear is listening, you can see, okay, it's still there to a degree. But it doesn't matter. He was fearfully and wonderfully made by God, and he's serving God just as he is. Is that encouraging to you? You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows you as you really are. He still loves you, and he still cares for you. Well, this psalm ends in a very interesting way. I don't know if you paid attention when Carlos was reading, but let me bring you back to verse 18 or 19. Sorry. Look at the way this psalm ends. It goes, "Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God." What is going on here? We seem to have quite a change all of a sudden here. "Oh, men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies." Is this strong language?
Yes.
Very, very strong language. Has anybody ever prayed that way? Oh, we got a few brave people who are just honestly saying, "Yeah, that was me, and I remember that guy. Oh man, I hated that guy. I completely hated that person." Our this last section, we want you to walk away with this thought. Can you have honest prayer with God? Honest prayer with God. Because that's what we're seeing here. The person is saying, right? The psalmist is saying, "God, you know everything. God, you are everywhere. God, you are so powerful. You've put me all together. And yet there are things, there are people on this earth I don't like. And in fact, God, I don't think you like them either. And I'm asking you, wipe them off the face of the earth." That's a pretty good prayer. Right? And we only have a couple of people in this room who say have prayed like that. Don't you remember some of your professors? Don't you remember some of your colleagues at work? Don't you remember some of your neighbors? Can I see hands again? Just playing with you. Are there inappropriate things for Christians to pray? You know, God knows everything, right? God is everywhere. Are there inappropriate things for Christians to pray? My one word answer to you would be no. There are not inappropriate prayers, honest prayers, for Christians to pray. Now, would I say you should act them out? No. But honestly, frankly, pray your heart out to God. That's what the psalmist is doing. Think about the rest of the psalms. They're filled with raw prayers. Like, dash them on the rocks. Kick in their teeth. Anybody ever felt like that? Still, a lot of liars in this room. My goodness. Sorry to... I mean, this is raw. This is like, I am so upset. And this is exactly the way that this psalm ends. I wonder this morning, what do you need to be completely honest with God about right now? Don't have the face that says, "Everything's good with me," because he knows your heart. So why would you hold it back from him? You're not going out and doing something, but you're praying it through. Isn't it good to know you have a God who knows your heart? That should be so encouraging to us. When you are in a situation like this, you can honestly, in raw language, tell God exactly how you feel. That's what the psalmist is doing. I would ask you again, what do you need to be completely honest with God about right now? Why are you pretending that the hatred isn't there? Why? God knows it. You can try to keep it down. God knows it. Why wouldn't you just begin the dialogue with God and have him help you through the whole thing? I would encourage you to tell God about it. Don't pretend. These last two verses, absolutely wonderful. This psalm started with, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me." This psalm ends with, "Search me." Did you notice one's past tense? One's present tense with the thought of going forward? This is why it's okay to be so honest and raw with God and not pretend. Not just the fact that he knows everything, but look at this. It's so good for us to keep saying, "God, search me and know my heart." You don't think he knows what's going on? And look at this, "try me." That's kind of like the word "purify me." I know. You know, maybe his heart is in sync with God's heart, and maybe God is not so happy with the people who are doing the evil things. But even if not, think about this. He is saying, "God, I am open for your examination. I am here laid bare before you. I don't pretend to think what I think is correct. I don't presume to know what you know, God. And I know there are things inside of me that still need to be dealt with in spite of the fact you have searched me and you do know me. There's still a lot of work." If you are here this morning and you're a Christian, you know you still have some work, right? It's not necessarily for you. It's God is still, you're kind of like a work in progress. You got some kind of construction sign, or, you know, around you, like, hey, be careful. There's a lot of stuff going on here. Would you have that kind of prayer? "God, search me. Know my heart." And I love this last verse. And if there be any grievous way, Lord, if there's anything in me at all, then just show me. Lead me in the way everlasting. We were made by God. God knows us so well. And he loves us and wants and is caring for us in spite of who we are. You know, when you realize that God really knows you inside and out, how will you respond? You can run. You can run from him. But why would you do that? God knows you, and he still loves you. He loves you so much that he came to the earth and died for you in your sinful state. God didn't say, "Hey, I'm just going to wait until they all get better, and then I'll do something." God said, "No, in their sinful state, I will send my son, and he will go." He knows your condition right now, and he still loves you. And I would wonder, would you not run to him this morning? And so I would just make this invitation. If you're here this morning and you have not yet connected with God, I would invite you to do that right now. And I'm just going to ask everybody in the room just to close your eyes. And I'm going to pray. And if you're here and you feel like, you know, I realize who God is, and I just want to make that connection with him this morning, I just ask that you would pray what I pray. And I'm just asking you to do this with an open heart. "God, this morning, I recognize who you are. I cannot hide anything from you. And so, God, I just ask you Would you come and be my Savior? Would you come into my heart and save me from who I am? I'm tired of hiding from you. I'm tired of running from you. This morning, I want to run to you. I receive you as my Savior right now. Amen. I'm going to invite Silva up because she's got some words for us. If you feel for any reason you need prayer this morning, I'm going to strongly encourage you. Out of these doors and just to make a right-hand turn. There's a prayer room there. There are people waiting to help you to pray. Don't lose this opportunity, okay?